Good morning, Brian. How are you this morning?
I'm well, Michael. How are you going, mate?
Very, very well indeed. As I said at the top of the show, there's been a fair bit of talk. I said to Michael Brown yesterday, are you concerned that the Cox Plate won't make enough headlines before the final field and the barrier draw? Well, he certainly answered that in the last 24 hours. No. Everyone knows that the Cox Plate is on this Saturday. The latest controversy, though, is one that Racing Victoria could have done without, and Moonee Valley. And this is in regards to the announcement that crowds were going to be, or owners were going to be allowed on course for the running of the 100th Cox Plate. Now, Martin Pakula put out the information, the racing minister, late last night, and then there was, fair to say, a huge backlash against that decision. And Martin Pakula then put out a tweet at around about 10 o'clock last night. I'll read you the tweet before I speak to you about it, Brian. Tonight I've spoken to the Moonee Valley Racing Club and the decision has been reversed. Owners won't return to the racetrack until we reach the next stage of the easing of restrictions. I apologise for any upset that has been caused. The decision to allow some owners on course for the 100th Cox Plate was motivated only by respect for the occasion and a desire to mark a small step on the path to reopening. It was a mistake, given that other restrictions remain in place, and we've heard the community feedback. Brian, as the chairman of Racing Victoria, the sentiment was in the right place. I have no doubt about that. But how much of an own goal do you think this has been for racing in general?
Yeah, look, Michael, all the way through the whole COVID period, I think we've been very conscious of acknowledging the privilege for racing to be able to keep going when so many, particularly in Victoria, you know, have had their businesses or their personal lives so materially affected. So, you know, none of what's been able to be done in terms of keeping racing going has gone without acknowledging that. And it's not, you know, it hasn't gone without a lot of effort on our part either, of course. You know, the level of protocols that we've had in place, I think, have been above and beyond, you know, what virtually every other industry that I can think of has had in place. So we've done it always on the basis of being able to keep it going safely for our participants and the general community, and that's always been the number one goal on the way through. Look, in terms of an own goal, I don't think, you know, Racing Victoria nor the clubs need to apologise for lobbying, you know, on behalf of our participants, on behalf of owners, on behalf of racing fans, to try to get people back on track. That's our job. We've been doing it for many weeks and indeed months, particularly leading into the spring carnival. Of course, we've done that without knowing necessarily exactly what other restrictions that the government would have in place at this time. So, you know, we've done that with the right intentions, I think, and people would understand that that's our job and what we should be doing. Having said that, I certainly, you know, understand the reason for the change late yesterday by the government, you know, the acknowledgement that allowing some people on track this week would have been too far out of step with where the current restrictions are. So, you know, we're obviously disappointed for owners in particular that would have, I think, been absolutely looking forward to get on track to watch their horses, but certainly understand the rationale for the decision.
I think there's been a little bit of miscommunication and probably misrepresentation in the mainstream widespread media about actually what it entailed for those owners who were going to be allowed on course. They were only going to be there for a very short amount of time, but I think there's a lot of angst, there's a lot of anger, and there's a lot of disillusionment in the wider community about the continued lockdown, and especially with it being grand final day, and a lot of people annoyed that they can't even catch up with a friend to watch the grand final. And I think that was probably the tipping point. Were you, as in Racing Victoria, surprised with the public reaction to that announcement when it was first made?
Oh, look, a couple of comments there. One, first of all, as you said, as I said at the start, we wouldn't have been supporting having people on track if we didn't think it could be done safely. And there was a lot of work and effort went into exactly what that meant in terms of protocols for owners, when they couldn't come, when they couldn't arrive, when they needed to leave, where they'd be on the track, their social distancing requirements, temperature checking, all those sort of things were going to happen. So we would have been, you know, we were comfortable, and obviously initially the government was comfortable that we could, or I think they probably still are, that we could do it safely. The issue is that really getting out of lockstep with other restrictions. So, look, I'm not surprised with the backlash. I can understand it. You know, no doubt people generally getting frustrated, and that's understandable. You know, we've been at this for, you know, many months now, and so look, I can certainly understand why that backlash would have occurred. I don't think it'll do, you know, any sort of harm to racing's reputation. As I said, I think people would have understood that, you know, our job as racing administrators is to try to do the best we can by our participants and our owners, and that's what we were trying to do.
Everyone is waiting for the next stage where we can open up a little more and get together other industries and workplaces wanting to open up so they can survive. Is this making you a little bit more gun-shy or wary of the potential of having crowds over the Melbourne Cup week?
Oh, look, I think clearly what will be necessary now will be easing of other restrictions. You know, I think that's the message that we've heard from the government in the last 12 hours is that, you know, if the current restrictions are still in place going into Cup Week, I think the likelihood of them sort of changing their mind and allowing some people on track or, you know, sort of non-participants on track during Cup Week is virtually non-existent. So I think if we see some further relaxation of other restrictions, there is still potential that we might have some people on track Cup Week, but they'd need to be seen to be, you know, not inconsistent with that sort of level of restrictions in place for, you know, general community and workplaces alike.
What type of lead-in would the VRC and Racing Victoria need to enable that to be done in a COVID-safe way in the preparations?
Yeah, look, it's a good question. It's probably better directed at Neil Wilson at the VRC to understand exactly what level of lead-in they would need. I know they've done a lot of planning on different scenarios, you know, up to a small number of people up, you know, but there still would need to be, you know, catering booked and those sort of things. But I think with small crowds, that would be easy to do with a short notice period. But you'd like to think we'd need to, I would imagine we'd probably need to understand what that looked like by the middle of next week at the latest. But again, Neil would be best placed to respond to that one for you.
Everyone's a genius in hindsight. No one has a crystal ball, but with everything that has transpired, and this is another prime example, did we miss an opportunity with not realigning or rejigging this year's Spring Carnival and moving, you know, a Caulfield Cup or Cox Plate back a little later?
Oh, look, there'll always be people with different views on that. I'm actually personally thrilled with how the engagement levels have gone, you know, with the Caulfield Cup Carnival, the turnover numbers have been amazing. That's one measure of engagement. We've had, you know, great digital engagement, the free-to-air coverage and the viewership on free-to-air. I haven't seen the final numbers for that, but I think that was really strong as well. This weekend, you know, with the 100th Cox Plate leading into the grand final at night, it's going to be one of the best weekends of sport that I can remember. I've got the Manukato obviously on Friday night on Channel 7 as well as racing.com. So, yeah, look, I think, you know, this weekend will be a great example of how the two codes how racing can work together with the AFL, and, you know, looking forward to a huge day and hopefully watching the Cats beat the Tigers after the 100th Cox Plate.
And you were going so well, Brian, until that point in time.
I'm a Carlton fan, Michael. Just cannot bring myself to barrack with the Tigers. So.
No, I can understand that. The decades of pain you've been suffering. just on the finances, because you released them earlier in the week, and they were quite staggering considering the COVID year that we've been through. A $10 million plus surplus. You are going to be giving up to $15 million, I believe, for more assistance to the race clubs as well. Were you surprised, and I know we spoke in depth about this when COVID first hit, about the dire consequences that racing could have, how racing has been able to navigate its way through it?
Look, obviously, based on my expectations when COVID first arose, yes, is the answer to that. But certainly as we got into the middle of the year and obviously the more recent weeks, what's been shown is we've been able to, you know, generate amazing engagement levels with racing being able to continue going. And that's sort of translated into Racing Victoria's financials for the period of 30th of June and post that. And it's put us in a great position where, you know, we were able to provide the clubs $12 million assistance before the 30th of June. We're granting them another $15 million sort of going through the Spring Carnival. We've subsidised some of the prize money top-ups to the tune of another $5 million that the clubs would have otherwise funded. So the fact that Racing Victoria has been able to sort of perform well from a financial perspective has really helped us help those that need it. And I think whilst we're talking about how positive, you know, Racing Victoria's results are, we do need to acknowledge that it's been a very tough time for our clubs, who haven't been able to get crowds on track, look after their sponsors and members the way that they normally we would. That's, you know, obviously having a big impact on their financial outcome. So being able to support them, I think, is great for the industry overall. But yeah, look, it's really created, I think, an opportunity for us. You know, the financial results is one thing, but we've got an opportunity here to build on some fantastic engagement levels that we've been able to achieve, you know, over the last 6 months, and looking forward to working with all of our media partners and others on doing that for the next few weeks and then going on into next year.
Yeah, I think that's a salient point to make. I suppose the one concern from the financials is that while the revenue or the turnover was up, the revenue was down, and that's because of the tabs being shut in the joint venture, which I know is being negotiated now. How much of a focus is that with Racing Victoria and the joint venture about trying to ensure that revenue increases moving forward?
Yeah, look, it's a good point. Just for people listening, so they understand. I mean, the Racing Victoria's got sort of two primary sources of wagering revenue. One is obviously the race field fees that we charge, and that's directly correlated with turnover. And then obviously we have a joint venture with Tabcorp, which is another major contributor to our revenue. And the first one's going exceptionally well, as we said, with turnover going well, but the joint venture results affected by different things through the period, you know, with no other sports to bet on in the early days, and then obviously more recently with retail venues remaining closed. And clearly, you know, again, Tabcorp, I think, leading the charge on that, and they'll be in, I think, the same boat as many other sort of pubs and clubs in terms of what they can do with their retail venues. But it'd be fantastic to have those venues open for Cup Week in particular, because we know there's a lot of you know, once-a-year punters that like to get along to their tab outlets and have a bet on the big day. So hopeful that can happen
likely,
in the next week or so. I'm probably not best placed to respond to that. I think I'm probably more confident this week than I was last week, given some of the really good numbers that we've had in Victoria. But it's going to be a decision for the state government again on what happens with those types of venues. But it would be a great outcome if we could get them open.
Absolutely. And last one before I let you go, there was that, and I think it was in consultation with Racing Victoria, that Betfair had a great promotion on Caulfield Cup Day where they weren't taking any of the commission fees out, and it saw an extraordinary increase in their turnover year on year. Is that something that Racing Victoria is looking at pursuing with wagering operators and maybe even with a tab in this new joint venture?
Yeah, look, it's interesting. That particular initiative's got a lot of attention. We do those sorts of promotions with all of our wagering service providers through the year, just to understand what might work, what might not work. And we think that one was pretty successful with Betfair. You know, our team will sit down and just work through, is that something we want to continue to do? But I certainly wouldn't want the message out there that, you know, Betfair is the only operator that we work with on those sort of initiatives. We work with Tabcorp, we work with the other major corporates as well on different initiatives through the year to see what we can do to promote, you know, that wagering engagement with the sport. So
I saw Josh Blanksby put out on Twitter a few of the key indicators from Caulfield Cup Day on the same day as the Everest Stakes Day, and it was a big turnaround on last year from what he put out. Have you got any more information about how the two major race days work together this year?
I think that, Josh's tweet on the turnover was accurate, massively up, I think 30% on last year, albeit we've got to acknowledge that last year was down on the prior year. So, but still, I think a really strong result. And again, you know, the coverage that we've had, I think, even despite the fact we've had AFL and NRL finals going on, you know, I think has really helped with that sort of outcome. The reader, the viewer numbers on Channel 7, I think from what I've seen, the numbers were really strong. I think Josh might have just put out what happened with the capital cities rather than the national coverage. The national coverage was actually an outstanding result in terms of viewership on Channel 7 as well. So, again, really, really strong outcome for us over Caulfield Cup week. You know, Guineas turnover up about 20-odd% and Caulfield Cup meeting turnover up about 32%. So, continued strong results.
Brian, appreciate your time this morning, and we'll be in contact and look forward to a massive 100th edition of the Cox Plate and then into the pinnacle of the Spring Carnival Melbourne Cup Week.
Yeah, really looking forward to it, Michael. Thanks a lot.
Brian Kruger, the chairman of Racing Victoria there. So that's the latest. I think we need to remember that what the original plan was to try and get crowds to the races for the betterment of racing. It was an idea that was done with the right intentions. Sadly, in the current climate, it missed the mark, and the general public was quick to tell those in charge. And then I think the quick reaction needs to be commended as well, that they recognised it may have been a misstep, and they turned it around pretty quickly. Now we can all move on, look forward to the 100th running of the Cox Plate, but even more so, look forward to the next restrictions being reduced, and then hopefully getting some type of crowd or participant on course for Melbourne Cup Week. We're going to take a break. We're going to focus on the Geelong Cup after this.